They call it, I think in our notes, something like quite a great adventure, one of the great adventures of the Bible. And when you read through it, you sort of put yourself in Paul's shoes as he travels on this boat, as he visits these different ports and cities, and as he goes through a storm. And I can say I have not been on a massive storm in a boat. Anyone here been in a stormy boat? Oh, there's quite a few. Yeah. Was it exciting for a while, and then it was terrifying? Terrifying. Yeah. So yeah. So you guys have a good image of what's happening in this journey with Paul. And before we get started, Ev, did you manage to find? You lost it. Okay, don't worry about it, because I think we're going to run out of time. We always do. So Nigel, with his video, not the girl singing with the guy, but the other video, the cartoon version, that was actually my video that I was going to show. So I'm not going to show it twice, and I did send a link to Evan to show another one, but I think we'll can that, Ev. I think we'll just reminisce about what happened on that video, and as Paul journeyed through that time on his way to Rome. And it made me think, what are some of the highlights of that journey? And in your mind, there would be certain things that you go, yeah, that really resonates with me. That's something that really stays with me. And the thing that stayed with me was the concept that Paul, and it mentioned it in the cartoon, is an image bearer of his Lord, the Jesus Christ. Paul understood the value of his life was found in Jesus Christ. Now, Aussie haka, anyone know what that is? What am I looking for? Wallet, all right, the Aussie haka. All right, sorry for any Australians here. All right, so one of the kids, if you'd like to come up. All right, first one up, quick, come on up. All right, come on up. All right, introduce yourself with a big voice.
My name's Hugh and Yeah.
Yeah, Hugh and Yeah. Right, okay, Hugh and Yeah. Okay, what are these in my hands? Okay, so what sort of images are on those coins, Hugh? You have a look.
A birdie thingy and a queen.
All right, so a birdie thingy and what was that one?
I think it's a queen.
The queen, okay, very good. And what's this one?
A bunch of words and...
What's that one?
A car.
A car, okay. So what these are here is, these have value in them, right? They have an inscription. And Jesus was asked, should we pay our taxes? And Jesus, very wisely, he knew this was a setup. And he said, well, what's on the coin, Hugh? Who's that? The queen. Yeah, right, so the ruler. So Jesus said very wisely, what's on that? He said, it's a coin. And he said, it's got the picture of the ruler on there. So he said, render to the ruler what is the ruler's, and render unto God that which is God's. Very good. Thank you, Hugh. Have a seat. All right, so as image bearers, we are the image bearers of Jesus Christ. If you are a Christian, you have Jesus Christ imprinted inside of you, working its way out, right? Some people, as image bearers of Christ, will wear a cross. I don't have a cross, I've got a dongle thing for the door. But, you know, some people wear What Would Jesus Do bracelets. What was that from? Was that the 90s? 90s, maybe the early 2000s, right? And as image bearers, in ourselves, we don't need all the paraphernalia but we have the Spirit of God living inside of us. And in my mind, the thing that I take away from Paul's traveling was that he understood that he was an image bearer of Jesus Christ. Now, we have some verses. Hopefully, they'll pop up. Philippians 3:8. There's about three verses. So, well, Evan takes care of that. And Paul understood that he was God's property, right? Just as a coin shows that it is the property of the government or the ruler, he understood that his life was actually the property of God. Right, what is more, I consider everything lost because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ. So Paul was taking a back seat, and he knew what it was to be a self-made man. He was a Pharisee. He was a learned man. He was esteemed highly of those of his gathering. And he had a mission, right? He had purpose. Purpose-driven life. Saul, before he became a Christian, he had determination. Like, he had it all set out. And then one day, on the road to Damascus, something happened. He ran into Jesus Christ. He was confronted by Jesus Christ. Something stopped him in his tracks. And at that point, the focus went from, I'm Saul, a self-made man, to becoming Paul, a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, as we follow Paul along in his journey, the way he interacts with people intrigues me, right? The way he responded to people that were in his life. I want you to just take time out now, right? Take a couple of minutes. Your neighbours, this is neighbour talk time. Talk to your neighbour, right? I want you to talk about what were some of the ways that Paul interacted with others around him, right? Doesn't just have to be in our two chapters, but as we look through Acts, how did Paul talk and walk with others around him? So take that time, just a couple of minutes, and then we'll move on. Okay, right. We're gonna keep moving on because we're gonna run out of time. So, just where you are, any hands? Just tell me, how did Paul talk to other people? How did he interact with others around him? Yes, in the back. Confidence. Yep, very good. Thank you, Charlie. Right, Nev. Yep. Fantastic. Right, any other? Joe? Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a very good point. Right, any others? Grace. Yeah, no, I like that one, with grace. Right. I noticed in reading through what Paul got up to, is that when he submitted himself to those soldiers, when he was going through all those trials through the judges, he showed grace and he showed humility. And to me, that was amazing. You think about who he used to be, right? He was almost the man. And he was doing the work of the religious leaders. And now he submits himself to the authority of the people that the religious leaders didn't even want in power, the Romans. And so you see, with humility, he puts himself under their authority. And with that, how he interacts when he talks to the centurion, and even when he talked to the leaders of the synagogue, he sort of had a wise crack at one of the guys that was speaking in the synagogue. And the other people in the synagogue, the Pharisees, said, "Whoa, that's our leader you're talking about." And instead of going, you know, pushing the subject, he actually pulled back and he said, "I didn't realize it was your leader." So with humility, we see that Paul understood that instead of putting himself forward, he was actually putting forward the Spirit of Jesus Christ inside of him. And that's something that sort of stuck with me as I see Paul journeying through his journey through the last two chapters of Acts. Now, as we know, going through the journey with Paul, plans change, right? He was on a boat, heading out to sea, and in our minds that seems like a great thing. Like, if you're heading out south, going cotting or something like that, like, I've got a plan. You know, we're going to meet at the jetty, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning, we're going to get on the boat, we're going to go for 40 odd minutes out there, we're going to, you know, drop some lines, we're going to catch some fish, we're going to get back, the sun's going to be out, it's going to be perfect, right? But plans change, right? When those of you who put up your hand, you said that you were on your boats or traveling on boats and something started to go wrong, like the storm started to pick up, the waves started to roll, right? Things change, plans change. And in Paul's travels, as Nigel said, he was a planner, right? He knew where he wanted to go. He knew how to get there. He knew the people he wanted to see. You know, he was very much a planner in his life. And I don't know if he struggled with that. You know, he sets a plan and God goes, "No, it's not quite going to happen like that. Things are going to change, right? Things are going to be different." Now, I'm not a super planner, just ask my wife. But those of you who are planners, who have things nutted out, you know, do you struggle sometimes with things that change? I'm a bit more carefree, which is sort of good sometimes, but when you're trying to organise something, it's not, right? So there's ups and downs. And in Paul's life, we see that plans change. Now, one of the kids, one more kid, come on up, someone who's a kid. Oh, come up, James. All right, James, come here. All right, put that on. James, yeah. You're now called Tui. All right, open that up. Oh, James.
Oh, no.
No, carry on, it was already ripped. I'll hold that one, you open up that one. No, that's all right. Right, you hold that up like that, James. Nice and big. So what do you reckon those are, James? Have a stab. Yeah? What are they?
Church.
Yeah. So that's what we call a plan. Yeah. Right? So when I'm in the construction industry, if you haven't worked that out, and when we build stuff, we always have a plan, and sometimes as builders we have to look at it a few times to figure out how it all works, but we all have plans. And did you know, James, when we get our plans, they change it on us. Do you know that?
Yes.
So by the time we get to building, we might have revision 3 or 4. And that's just the way it is. And you have to roll with it, James.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's no use sort of complaining and pouting and sort of kicking the dirt and saying, well, you gave me plan one. Why can't we just do plan one? Right? There's good reasons that they change their plans. Yeah. Thank you, James. Give us that. Awesome. Right. So in my line of work, things change all the time. And in life, don't be surprised, but things change. It's amazing, isn't it? In Paul's life, when he set out on a journey, he knew where he was going. He knew the places to go. He knew the people to see, but it didn't always work that way. Question time. I just want you to take another couple of minutes. What things have changed in your life that you remember? You were heading a certain way and something changed. Talk to your neighbour, have a discussion. Yeah, Ev, if you can just show Isaiah 55:8. Oh. Okay, right, now that you've had time to discuss, let's have a couple of hands. This will be good. Right, so plans have changed. Who wants to share something that's happened? David. I think there's a common story, David. So David said he only come to Southland for a year. It ended up being 35 years. So, yeah, fantastic. Right, any other stories of change? Helen. Wow. So that's a big move. So Helen shifted off to Aussie, and 3 months later they were back in New Zealand. So yeah, amazing. Yeah. So the lessons we learn from life are that things change, right? Things do change. And when we walk with God, we walk along, but sometimes things don't happen the way that we planned them. We never ever thought we would be in the South, because that's not an Auckland thing to do, right? You never leave Auckland. That's an Auckland thing, right? Because, you know, New Zealand sort of stops at the Bombays and ends in Warkworth, you know, that sort of stuff. So we're thankful that the Lord opened our eyes and we managed to be blessed by the Southlanders. And, you know, if I was Paul and someone said, you're going to Rome, I'd be like, man, I'm getting on TripAdvisor and I'm just seeing what tours are happening, you know, what itinerary can I have, you know, where should I go, you know, where should I eat, you know, find a nice restaurant, you know, book accommodation, maybe even book a cruise, like, yeah, not a fishing boat, let's just go on a cruise. And so in my mind, you know, when someone says, you're going to Rome, I'm like, yes, you know, I'd love to go to the Mediterranean, really would. But in essence, like, as I plan for my trip, things are going to change. And that's exactly what happened in Paul's life. Things changed. Now, Paul didn't pack a sad, but he understood that as you go on a journey, you have to journey with God. right? If you don't journey with God and you become upset because things have changed, then it becomes a very hard road to travel. We need to learn to journey with God. And Acts 1:6, if Evan brings that one up. And as Paul journeyed with God, he learnt to dwell in the place that he was at. He learnt what it was to not just think about the destination, but to enjoy the trip that we walk, that we journey with God. And that's a very important thing. What's that one say? And they gathered round him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? I don't know if that's the right verse, actually, but it doesn't matter. It's a great verse. And that's the one I wrote down. No. So it's somewhere in there, somewhere in Acts. Anyway. So the verse I was looking for was the one where he's actually in prison with Silas. And I think Nod even briefly mentioned it. But it talks about where he was in prison after they had done this amazing thing. I think they'd cast out demons out of a lady. And the guys that were looking after the lady, making money from her, said, that's not on, you're going to prison. So they arrested these guys for doing this great work, and they shoved them in prison. And instead of being all huffy about it, right, Paul and Silas, they were singing and praising God where they were. They were learning to dwell where they were. They were learning to journey with God. And something miraculously happened. Who can tell me what happened in that time? They're in the prison, singing away. Earthquake. All right. And what happened in the earthquake? Right. All the doors flung open. Right. And if you're a prisoner, you're like, man, this is it. I'm out of here. Gone. And then when the jailer saw that doors were open, he said, oh, I might as well just end my life because they're going to kill me anyway. So, he was going to do that, and then Paul and Silas said, whoa, whoa, you don't have to do that because we're still in the prison. All of us are still in the prison. So Paul learned how to dwell where he was. He didn't get huffy about it. He didn't throw a tantrum. But he understood that his journey with God was exactly that, with God. If you leave God out of the picture, things are a whole lot different. Made me think, Philippians 4:11-13, Eve. So it made me think, don't wish your life away. You know, oh, I wish I had this, I wish I had done that. You know, 50 years ago I could have done this. You know, like every male in New Zealand is like, oh, if I only had played rugby a bit longer, I would have made the All Blacks. You know, like basically that's what every guy thinks. Right, if only I had to put on the boots, you know, when I was 6 years old, I could have been there with the All Blacks. But don't wish your life away. It says, I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Understanding that we can be content in our journey with God. Now, Nigel talked about being complacent. That's completely different to being content, right? Having an understanding that where you are now with God is not plan B, all right? You are in God's plan right here, right now. Will you learn lessons from where you are? Yes. Was it sort of your fault you got to where you were? Sometimes, right? But the place that you are in is where God wants you to be right now. Why is that? Because so he can deal with you, right? He can deal with you in a good way. God's dealing with us is all to bring us into fellowship with him. So it might be a bit of chastisement, right? It might be a bit of encouragement. But whatever the journey, you are in the place where you need to be right now. When you look at the life of Paul and his journey, you can say, man, how can that guy praise God? Look what happened to him. Prison, beaten, you know, left for dead. You know, it talks about him being hungry, shipwrecked. You know, how can that guy praise God? It's because he journeyed with God through those times. Question time to finish. Have you learned or have you leaned on walking with God? What practical things help you walking with God? So this is not so much in your mind, but also how does that manifest itself in your relationship? What things help you in your walk with God? Give me a couple. Cup of tea that we'll have very shortly. So, what are some of the things that help you walk with God? Right, hands please. Whoa. Yes, in the front. Awesome. Yeah, no, that's great. So yeah, through the word of God, we learn how to walk with him through the examples that he gives us of his working through people in the many stories that we have. All right, I think Earl, did you have your hand up before Earl? Yeah, so Earl's holding up his Bible, and absolutely, the word of God definitely helps us in our walk with him. Right, any other things that sort of practically help you every day walking with God? Sarah? Yeah. Absolutely. Prayer definitely helps a whole lot. Yeah, taking that time to just calm the storm and realize where you are and who is with you. Absolutely. Nev, I think you might have had your hand. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's all like what the cow does with the cat, isn't it? Yeah. Just chewing on it, chewing on it, and chewing on it. Very good. Ev, did you have your hand? Nope. Okay. Yes. Carol, sorry. Thank you. Absolutely, yeah. No, definitely enjoy the wonders of his creation, as we talked about this morning. And yeah, we definitely live in a blessed land of beauty, definitely. Right, any other folk want to share how they walk with God? Some helps? I love singing in the car. Absolutely love it. So I'll turn on the radio, well, not the radio, my Spotify, turn that on. Blaring away, singing out loud, and then when you get to the traffic light, oh no, oh, nothing to see here. And then when the lights go, you start singing again. So I really enjoy praise and worship time through music. It's just something that sort of resonates in my heart, and that definitely helps me. And as you learnt in your studies, it's learning to have good habits. We're called to be disciples of Jesus Christ. And disciple means discipline. A lot of people don't like that word. I don't really like that word because it means hard work. But if we are disciplined, if we put in the effort, we will get the rewards. Make time to pray. Make time to read your Bible. Make time to fellowship. Make time to sing. Right? There's a whole bunch of stuff that we can do, but we need to put in the effort. And with that will come reward. Now we're just going to end with this one here, and it made me think, when we journey with God, Jesus says the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but he says, I have come that you may have life and have it in full. Absolutely, right? Don't wish your life away. Don't, oh man, another 50 years on this earth and then finally I can, you know, get to heaven's gates. Right, you don't have to endure life. Jesus says that we have life and we have it abundantly. Right, enjoy the journey with God that we have on this earth. Right, don't wish your life away, but as Paul did, learn to dwell where you are. Remember that we are image bearers of God. We are image bearers of Christ. We walk with him. Plans will change, get used to that, but as long as we walk with God, he can guide us in all those things. Thank you for your participation this morning. Please carry that conversation on with you as we have a cup of tea. There's probably 100 highlights that I haven't mentioned that you guys have stored in your heads, right? Share those highlights with those people around you as you have a cup of tea, right? That's a challenge for us. Right, let's have a song. And before we do that, we'll pray. And then after the song, we'll dismiss for our cup of coffee and biscuits. Right, let's give thanks. Father, we thank you once again that you are the God who lives within us. Thank you, Lord, that as we walk through life, you are with us. We understand, Lord, that the things in life are sometimes very hard. And we understand, Lord, that you put us in the place that we are right now. Father, help us to understand that all these things happen, that we would glorify you, that we would give thanks. And we also know, Lord, that you want us to come, Father, to you. Help us, Lord, to encourage one another with these words. Help us, Lord, to lift one another. And may we glorify your name. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, we'll have the music team come up.
Okay, let's stand together and we will sing I Will Follow You.
All your ways are good, all your ways are sure. I will trust in you alone, higher than my sight, high above my life. I will trust in you alone, in you alone. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Who you love, I'll love. How you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you. Yeah, I will follow you. Yeah. Light unto the world, light unto my life. I will live for you alone. You're the one I seek, knowing I will find all I need in you alone, in you alone. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Who you love, I'll love. How you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you. Yeah, I will follow you. Yeah. In you there's life everlasting. In you there's freedom for my soul. In you there's joy, unending joy. And I will follow. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. Where you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Who you love, I'll love. How you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you. Yeah, I will follow you. Yeah, I will follow you. Yeah, I will follow you. Yeah.
Amen. Please be encouraged, and may you walk with him this week, and we'll catch up around a pot of coffee, cup of tea. Thank you.